is what Abraham said. He said, can I bear or have a son being 100 and Sarah 90 years old? So Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. And he questioned God about could he bear or could Sarah bear a son being that age? We know that would be something supernatural if it took place. That it wasn't natural for a man that's 100 years old and later 90 years old to bear a child. Then Abraham comes before God and he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And so he was saying, let Ishmael live before thee, which Ishmael was the son of a Egyptian handmaid that was that he went into it, and he brought forth Ishmael, and we know the record there. How he was not the promised seed, was not the one that God chose. And we know, you know, there's a lot of things to be said about that. Ishmael was a wild man. His hand was against every man. We know that that's still prophetic there in the scripture, how all them, the hand of Ishmael is still in this world today against Israel. And that's just the way it is. It goes back to these days. You know, it's amazing how, and I understand though that money is the root of all evil, the love of money. Can I say it? The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. I understand though that most of the time, most wars are over that. Mm-hmm. Most wars are over love of money, pride, things like that. But this is a religious war. I mean, really, if you get down to what goes on over there in the Middle East,
amen,
that's a religious war.
Sure is.
It's between Ishmael and Isaac.
Oh,
and it's just the way it was here in the scripture. And people don't want to see it for what it's at, but you got all these people trying to analyze everything and saying this happened because of this or this happened because of this. But the fact of it is, it goes back to this scripture.
It
goes back to what God said. It's not what man said. It's what God said. And he said that. Now, God still, you know, but we know the scripture how God did let him live, not in the seed line, as far as the prophecy, but God did let him live. I mean, Sarah saw him mocking Isaac and said, cast out the bond woman and her son, which is the type of the flesh, because he couldn't be an inheritor of what God had for Isaac. He made mockery, and God did cast him, but God did provide for him. I was out there some water to drink in that desert time, and God was, did let him have a line and did bless him, you know. But the fact of it was not set up by God for that way to come to pass. And you know, you think back, and I know hindsight sometimes 20/20 in our lives. And we can think back and say, you know what, you don't have like that. You know, I know there was times in the Bible God did restrain men. I mean, over there too, when the man of Abimelech maybe restrained him from going in, was it Sarah, wasn't it? And of course, the same line Isaac took with Rebekah, you know, but God did put a restraint on him right there. But here, it wasn't one put on. And you look back and say, what would it be like today if there never had been Ishmael? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God knew that. And, of course, God does exercise his will in the affairs of men.
He does. That's right.
But sometimes, you know, I mean, I look at it like this. This is the best way I can explain it. It's like your daddy giving you the car keys. When you turn 16, he said, you've got your driver's license. He said, here's the key. Now, you can use that car to drive it and it be useful. Or you can use it and get in trouble with it.
Yeah.
And I think God says, here, Abraham, here's the key. You're my blessed. I'm blessed through you. And he let Sarah say, go into my handmaid, because they wasn't willing to wait on God. Or, and, you know, what come to pass was now this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sowing and reaping.
That's right. And that's the scriptural truth to everybody right there. I mean, and we're not. You see, here's the thing. It's still prevalent today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we reap in what he did then, because he was that chosen man that God used. He put the keys in his hand. You know, he even told Peter, you got the keys. You know, the gospel keys. It opens up. You open up the gospel to sinners. And you look at these things, you know, I can relate that in my own life. I've I've used a car the wrong way before, amen. I told you that story, you know, when we got my driver's license. My daddy played basketball down there at East Rowan, and he said, I'm going to let you drive practice tonight. And he said, I don't want you to take nobody in that car but you and Rusty. He said, he's going to go with you. And old Gary Fesselman come up and said, he said, would you give me a ride home? And I said, I wanted to, you know. I know what daddy said. And I said, I'll give you a ride, but you better not tell nobody, and you especially better not tell my daddy. So I took Gary home. I mean, I got home with him, got back to the house. And then the next night, next week, that weekend, up Saturday nights, when Rose's department store's up here. Some of y'all don't remember that. Y'all too young. Amen. That's right. But we saw him in there, and he told him. He said, Joel drove good the other night when he took me home. Well, hey, I used the keys the wrong way, son. I mean, you know what? And you look in your life, people say, could God stop you and things? Yeah, he's God. But that ain't necessarily the way God always does it. I mean, God, you got to grow up in life. I mean, when you got saved, as you was a baby in Christ, it was like God held you in your arms and nurtured you and took you up. But it's just kind of like the progressive life in a natural life. When you become a little older, he gives you a little bit more liberty. Amen. That's right. And then what you do with what God gives you is how the blessing comes.
Amen.
That's right. So Abraham here, he's been given the key. God says, all right, through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless. I'm going to use your seed and bless. But he goes into Hagar, and Ishmael is born. But the covenant of God was not with Ishmael, it was Isaac. And he said, I'll establish my covenant with him. And of course, but my covenant will I establish Isaac. So the birth of Isaac was brought forth by the hand of God. I mean, you take a 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old woman, God had to quicken the seed and also touch Sarah that she might be able to conceive and have a son at that age. But here's the thing that God showed me in this, and I've said it before in this church. God will do it when you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you look at it and say, it's impossible. This is impossible. But it is with man. It is with how we look at it. It is with our own eyes. Let's say, this is impossible. That's when God says, but with me it is possible.
Amen.
And I think that's what faith is. I think we've got to believe God in His Word. It's not what we see. It's what He can do by faith. And what we believe, that's what the whole chapter deals with faith. And a lot of times we look at things, that's impossible. But, to think about a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, and I understand, though, that they lived a little longer in them days as their ages, you know. But at the same time, that's still old to have a child at that age. And, of course, he said it. Abraham said it, too. He said, talked about that being 100 years old. But, you know, God's got a seed, and he's got to make the seed alive. Now, I understand, though, that in the natural birth, but in the spiritual birth, it's got to be like that. You know, the seed's the Word of God. The womb is the heart. And the seed's got to fall on the heart and be regenerated. It's got to be made alive. It's got to be quickened. God's got to touch it. That's the key right there. The Bible is quick and powerful. The Scriptures. But they're quick and powerful because God touches it.
That's right.
It is God's Word. God's Word has power in it in itself.
Sure.
But when God takes His Word and puts it in your heart, that's when that God brings forth fruit, birth, children of God. And then, too, of course, a child is born like that, too. And so if you look in the Bible, you look at how many times, if you really read the Bible, you see the seed that God talks about. He said we're born again of an incorruptible seed.
Mm-hmm.
Not a corruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. Over there in 1 John, there's a verse over there that goes a lot of people. But he said, over there, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. That's what it says. For his seed remaineth in him, and he can't sin because he's born of God. Well, where's the key to that? The seed? The seed of God is in that man. That seed is perfect. It don't sin. It does not commit sin. But the same 1 John writer said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So how do we bring them verses together? Well, we bring them together for the fact that man's still in the flesh and he still falls short. But we bring it together with the Holy Spirit living in a man. He's perfect and he cannot sin.
Amen.
So you got one in you that cannot sin. That's in a body of death.
Yes.
That's in a body of corruption. This body's going to the grave.
Sure.
I mean, it's going. And don't have nothing good about it. Don't be good about it. And why did Paul, the old wretched man that I am?
Yes, amen.
Old wretched. He said the only victory he has in Christ, in this body we die. But inwardly we live. That's what Jesus said. He said there in the scripture, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so it's life within. It manifests without, the Holy Spirit does. But this seed here, you take in the Bible, Matthew 13, he dealt with the seed, sowing the seed. He dealt with the seed being sown in the field. He talked about the wheat and the tares. There's all kind of things said about the seed in the scripture. And there's a picture of life. Seed gives life. And of course, the seed of Abraham had to give life in the womb of Sarah that was made alive by God in their old age to bring forth a son that was going to be the covenant child,
amen,
which is Isaac. And God had already told them, you know, there were some people in the Bible, God told them what to name them.
Mm-hmm.
There were some they didn't. But God says, his name, you know, he's going to be Isaac. This is Isaac, you know. Of course, Jesus was named. And John was named.
Yes.
And some others in the Bible's name. But the seed here, and this is what it says in Romans 4. We won't turn there, but I'll read it. He said, if being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I like this verse here. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, you know, I mean, it was by faith, believing God. The life of God by faith is not by sight. It's not what we see. You don't see it and then do it. Okay? It's done and then you see it. That's a fact. The thing of it is, we want to see something before we do it. No, it's not by sight. It's by faith. Faith brings forth the results. If you don't have faith, then you're not going to see nothing. That's just like Thomas. He said, I won't believe I see. But Jesus said, blessed are them who have not yet seen, yet believed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Disbelieve the pure, unadulterated word of God. What God says is true. It's not to be, you're not going to figure out everything about God. If you could, you'd be God too, wouldn't you? Yeah. You don't know everything. His thoughts are above ours. His ways are above ours. So the fact of it is, we got to come to the fact this morning, thank God, that this book is to be believed by faith. That's right, there's where a lot of them cults got started. These different beliefs, because they want to try to figure out the God of heaven. They want to say it can't be this way, the Trinity. God is the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are God, and these three are one. That's truth. That's biblical truth. But Charles Russell wanted to try to say Jesus wasn't God, and there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost, because he can't figure it out. So he starts the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
That's right. And a lot of these guys are like that, the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a false cult. I mean, some of the things Joseph Smith said, he's a prophet. He's a prophet of the devil.
Yeah.
Not a prophet of God.
That's right.
That's right. But I don't believe no other books like this. Somebody said, this is the book of man. No, it's the book of God.
Right.
This is holy inspired, friend. Amen. You say, I know it works. Thank God. I'm not trying to get it to work. I know it works.
Amen.
It works in me. It works in you. You wouldn't even be here if it didn't work in you.
Right.
Amen. That's right. I'm not running a religious outfit here trying to get people to follow me or something I want them to do. I'm not running a cult. Amen. Thank God. It's something Jesus done for me. Jesus done for you. Amen. If it's run by man, it's going to stop. That's what Gamaliel said over there when that crowd was preaching the gospel. He said, stop these people. He said, well, if it's of God, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
He said, if it's a man, it'll come to naught. It'll come to nothing if it's a man. Hey, the ultimate end of every false religion, listen to this, it's built off men's works.
Amen.
Every bit of it. This is not built off men's works. This is built off grace that God gave us through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. I'm glad the seed was made alive in my heart one day when that old man of God took a King James Bible and said, this is what God says.
Yeah.
Amen. This is what God says. And when he said, this is what God says, then I had to give an account to it. You had to give an account of it. Everybody listen to me preach the word of God this morning. They had to give an account of what God says.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. This is what God says. Some men think they're bigger than God, but they're not, friend. Every man's going to give an account to God. And it don't matter who he is. The president,
right.
Thank God, like one old guy saying, from the chicken house to the White House.
Amen.
They're going to give an account
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. So I'm just saying this morning, it is by faith. And so Isaac was born with great joy was in their heart. But afterwards, Ishmael, of course, mocked him. And, of course, we know, I said something about that a while ago, the bond woman and her son was cast out, type of the flesh, and they cannot please God. Then this scripture here talks about the trial of Abraham.
Man,
it talks about it. And it talks about Isaac, his only begotten son. It wasn't Ishmael, it was Isaac. And God puts him to the greatest test that he's ever had. And that was to take that boy to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering.
Mm-hmm.
To put that boy on the altar and take him.
Yeah.
Don't withhold him from me. I want you to offer him up. I want you to put a knife in him. And I'm not trying to be rough and gruesome about it. In other words, I want you to cut his throat.
Yeah.
I want you to give that boy. That's God, friend, that told Abraham that. That was God that was putting the test to him.
It was.
Amen. I want to say there's some things here in these scriptures that that's just the way it is. And notice the words. Of course, Abraham obeyed God, believing God to raise him.
Yeah.
But notice the words on the way up to Mount Moriah, Genesis chapter 22. There's just a few things that I just want to point out that Abraham said going up. This is what he said. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to me.
Amen. Amen.
He said, I'm going up to offer this boy on this altar, but we're going to be back to see you.
Yes, right.
You know what he's saying? He is saying God's going to raise him up after offering. That's the whole. That's what he believed. He looked at him as dead right there when he was going up. He said here. He said, thank God, the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you.
Right.
He told them men that. He said, we're coming back.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Oh, that's faith right there, brother. I'll tell you that's faith. You know why I believe that? Because of what God had told him.
Amen.
This is the boy. This is the one, the promise, and become the child, a son. It's through. It's through the seed here of Abraham, Isaac, to be Jacob after that. Praise God. I like it, don't you? Amen. Look at verse. Listen here. Here they're going up. He's just told these men. He's going up. Up the mount. And he said, I'm going to read that. I just want to read that. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. Notice this here. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire in the wood. They got the fire in the wood. But where is the lamb?
Yes.
That's a good question. Well, where is the lamb?
Where is he?
For a burnt offering. I love this verse. But verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
For a burnt offering.
Amen.
Just take your words right there, what it said. God will provide himself.
Amen.
And God will provide himself. That's what Abraham told his son, his only son. God will provide himself a lamb. That's what he said. And you look at this thing here. So everything here is a picture of Christ.
Yes, it is.
It's a picture of Christ. God provided himself. He become flesh and provided himself to be the lamb and sacrifice for sinners.
Amen.
That's what he does. It's amazing. And what a test this man. You know, Abraham was tested a lot. He really was. I don't know how many tests Brother Joe he went through. Brother Edgar Thomas told me one time he thought that this test here was probably about the seventh and the hardest test he went through. The man's got to be tested to see where he's at.
Yes, he does.
God knows what he's going to do. It wasn't God didn't know what he was going to do. But a man has to be tested. I've always said this. You know, you went to school and you took a lot of classes, but when you took that test, it showed you where you was at. That's right. Yeah. In the Christian life, you go through a lot of things. But when you go through that test, it really shows you who you're looking to and where you're at.
Amen.
I mean, you go through this Bible and you got to say God's people was a tested people. I mean, all through the Scripture, God's people. You know, I was thinking this the other day. I thought, you know, the test and the trial things you go through as a Christian. I kind of felt my own mind and heart. I was thinking, you know, when's the next hard one going to come? Because they do.
They do, yes.
They do. Is it joyous and pleasant? No. No. It ain't pleasant. But it's fruitful. And it really makes you.
Yes, it does.
Amen. When you go through something, you got to trust God holds it.
That's right.
That's what he was saying. He was saying, we coming back. Every bit of that was in God.
Yeah.
I trusted God to bring us back because he's already promised this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
My son is the one that he's going to bless and use. And if I leave him up there on that mound, he can't. He'll be dead. He's coming back. God's going to provide himself a way. Notice this here. In the book of... And Abraham went up with full expectation of sacrificing Isaac.
Sure.
I mean, he went up with full expectation of sacrificing Isaac. And he went up with full expectation that God would raise him up after he sacrificed him.
Yes,
he did. God seen that in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when he got up there too, and he pulled that, he got the knife out, he was going to put the knife to his son, God stopped him. And cried out to him, Abraham, Abraham. He said, you've not withheld your only son from me. You've not withheld him. And of course, you know the record, how there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns, and he was a substitute. There's a picture of Christ there, I think. And of course, Abraham offered up that ram. Notice this verse here as we finish up this morning. Verse 19, he said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead.
Yeah.
From whence also he received him in a figure. I think that he was, you know, this is what I think about that right there. I think Abraham, when he looked at Isaac on that altar, he seen him as dead. But when he got up, he seen him as a resurrected son. Let me read this here. Is that he then received him by his being raised from the altar as if from the dead. He was the Abraham dead. And a figure of the resurrection because God raised him up. And he had that ram that stayed.
That's right.
Isaac was free, but in the figure he was dead. Christ rose again the third day according to Scripture. And if you read Genesis 22, he talked about that third day. That third day is mentioned in them scriptures over there, how he saw it 3 days. I can't fully get a hold of some of this as I'd like to in my own heart, but I've been meditating upon it. That Abraham reckoned him. He counted him dead.
Sure.
But he was raised, thank God, as a figure of the resurrection. Here in the Scripture, he said that he received him in a figure. And so it be that when somebody gets saved, they die to sin and self, and they're raised to newness of life. That as that knife was over him, God was really, when God stopped him, he was saying, I'm giving you new life now.
Yeah.
And he offered up that ram that was in the thicket. And because of the substitute Isaac was free, and because of the substitute we're free.
Yeah.
It's all by faith. It was all by faith. And when I read these scriptures, I mean, hey, listen, these are not people that have wings and halos.
No.
These are not people that was made of some different kind of flesh. These was people like us.
Amen.
Abraham was born just like I was. And Isaac was a son of Abraham and Sarah, like I've got a son. And when I see all this and read this of what great things God did for these men and through these men, you have to say it was God. You have to say God graced them and helped them by faith to believe Him, to prove. It's a proof to this, to not only to a group of Israelite people, but to also a world. That we live by faith and people see something in our lives that, hey, these people believe God. They walk by faith. They do what God says and God's blessing them for it.
Yes.
It's not just a religious rigmarole, if I can use that word. Mom used to use that, so. So whatever that means, whatever it means, rigmarole. This is just not a religious ritual. We're not going through the ritualism of religion. This is something by faith. And that's why the Christian life is so exciting. Because we live by God. We don't live by the elements or the means of this world. We go through God to obtain what we have. Because we're blessed of God through Christ, who was the ultimate seed that came through the virgin's womb. That was sown by God. And so when you look at these things like this and you see Hebrews 11 and you see this test of Abraham with Isaac coming out from the mountain, come back down from the mountain. I wonder what them men thought when they see him coming. There they are. He said they was coming.
Yeah.
He done promised they was coming. Amen. I like that one song that Brother Clint Kearns wrote it. And he wrote a song and he said, while Abraham and Isaac was going up one side of the mountain, there was a ram going up the other side.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. That was that sacrifice, that substitute that God had planned. That's right. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's right.
Amen. While we were yet sinners, God committed His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what He done. He took our place.
Sure did.
Just like that ram took the place of Isaac that day and offered him up in his place. And the Lord will provide. He does. And He provided who? Himself on that day. A lamb. And I'll tell you what He had in mind. He had us in mind when He provided His Son for our sin.
Yes, He did.
That's right. Because He knew that was the way that we could be saved and resurrected from the life of darkness and death and condemnation to set us free, thank God, from a life of sin. I thank God for it today. And it's by faith in Christ. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Brother Keith, how about you pray?